I want you to know just how valuable it is for you to share your thoughts on Wednesday night. It's important that you bring something, and it's important that you are willing to share what's on your heart. And been thinking about some of the things that was said Wednesday night. It's where some of this comes from today. I want us to look at joy from maybe a little different perspective than we have in the past. My habit is when I compile the notes that I bring and to service that I save them. I've got quite a catalog of saved notes and on my computer. And when I went to save it, I just put joy at the top for title. And when I went to save it, I realized that I'd had a message about a year and a half ago about joy. So I just kind of looked over my notes that time, and different scriptures seemed to be a different direction. So if you remember that one, try not to confuse them. I don't believe I'm telling you something different, but it's kind of like preaching about the Holy Spirit and being sanctified. There's different perspectives of it, and there's different things that we can get a hold of. So I'd like to read a definition. I did have this definition in my notes from over a year ago. Joy. The passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or the expectation of good. The excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success. Good fortune, the gratification of desire, or some good possessed, or by rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire. Gladness, exultation, exhilaration of spirits. And I was thinking about our small children and that we have here this morning, and how that the prospect of a piece of candy or a prospect of someone picking them up can cause what we see, that they're demonstrating a level of joy. They're kind of jump up and down a little bit, and maybe they wave their hands, and maybe a big smile comes on their face, and they clap their hands, or, you know, there's just something. You can tell that the anticipation of mama picking them up or grandma picking them up, or the anticipation of getting the candy out of the wrapper is just almost more than they can contain right then. It's just, there's joy that's being just, it's just coming out all over in their body language, in their words. Maybe they're making happy noises and all of that. So joy is something that is part of joy. And I would like for us to dig into the source and how, what causes us to have those emotions, because I think it's important for us today to have those emotions of exhilaration, those emotions of being excited, or of anticipation of, oh, it's within my grasp. It is going to happen. It is, there's this, the joy of fulfillment. We all like that, and we need it. It's healthy for us to experience that as we go through life. But we know that sometimes people seem to live only for that feeling of exuberance or excitement or whatever. That seems like all they live for, but they really don't know what makes them have that feeling. Does that make sense? You know, they want the feeling, but it seems like it's just always, and that's one of the traps the devil has, is to cause us to feel like this next event, this next concession, this next thing that compromise that we make in our integrity, it'll bring joy. Well, I just, of all of those experiences of joy, whether it's us looking on at a child getting a piece of candy, or the feelings that you and I have of meeting our relative, our grandparents or something that we haven't. Yesterday I was able to spend some one-on-one time visiting with my first cousin that we just don't have much opportunity to visit just because he lives a long ways from me. And so yesterday I was able to have some time, and there was a level of joy that came from that. But how long does that last? I mean, I have happy memories of that now. How long does it, you know, that anticipation of that candy coming out of the piece of the out of the plastic wrapper, as soon as you get it, that peak of emotion kind of starts to subside, doesn't it? There's still a happiness per se, but it's not like that surge of anticipation kind of diminishes, doesn't it? So what is it that causes us to feel joy? I'd like to go and read a story, or a little bit of the story. I won't read it all because it is a little bit tedious, but let's go to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. And you know, many times joy comes to us at a time when we've been through some difficult times. I mean, you've been estranged from maybe your spouse or your children, or not because of relationship problems, but maybe just because of circumstances. And then the anticipation and the joy of meeting them the first time after a while, of going to maybe the airport to pick up your relative, your son or your spouse, and they've been away for 60 days or something like that, and to be looking through the crowd and wonder if he's going to be next, and then to see them come walking down the hall, and just the joy of being able to see them and recognize this is my son, this is my spouse that's coming down the walkway. So let's look in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And this is an account in this chapter of all of those that came to make David king. And we all know that David was anointed king as a young man, but he was, we would call him middle-aged or past middle-aged when he was actually anointed king. And there was a lot of turmoil. If you got a leader that really doesn't have God's blessings on them, but he won't turn his leadership over to someone that's really called and qualified, it can get kind of tedious. And if you think about the years, maybe as much as 40 years, a long time, that Saul was king, and the Israelite people, he had this personal grudge against David, and he chased him around for at least 3 decades trying to kill him. And you can imagine all of the distress that the people were in. And now this chapter is the chapter that David is anointed king. And the men that came, it seemed like that the farther their tribe was from Hebron, the more men that came. Some of them, it was almost 50,000 men came. Now, there was a lot of anticipation for 50,000 men that was all prepared to do battle, to come and just to anoint a man king. wasn't there? And some of those wasn't very many, but they were the ones that were close by, and they were providing food and maybe lodging and to some sort to all of those that came. So let's go down and read after it gets through all of the details of who came and how many of them and where they came from. Let's read beginning in verse 38. And it says, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. So these soldiers came as representatives of their tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. There were even those that came that were from the tribe of Benjamin. You know what the significance of that was? That's the tribe that Saul was from. But there were a good number of those from Benjamin that came to make David king. It says in verse 39, and they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. So those that were the locals, you know how it happens, local congregation many times is so happy to have others come from other congregations. If you have a singing or a revival meeting and maybe you prepare a little snack after service or something like that, well, that's what was happening here. But there was, the other verse said that all these men of war that could keep rank, there was not dissension among them. They had a purpose in mind. They had something that was motivating them, and they all came to make David king. It says in verse 40, moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins, and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. The men that come from a long distance, some of those that brought 50,000 men, you know, they were thinking ahead and thinking, you know, when we get there, there's going to be a lot of mouths to feed. And they loaded up their pack animals with food and brought it. And they brought sheep to slaughter. They didn't have refrigerated semis to bring stuff in, so they brought it on the hoof, and they butchered it there and prepared it. I mean, a lot of work that was involved. And what was all their motivation? There was a deep-seated joy because of what? David was going to be made king, finally, a long time. You ever waited 30 years on something? 40 years? I don't know if any of us can truly relate to that. But there was people that were there that had been born under this turmoil that was in the kingdom. I've got to believe that it was common rumor. Well, we got Saul, he's the king, but everybody knows David was anointed king, and that God really doesn't approve of Saul. But he won't turn it loose. And he runs around trying to kill David. And there was, well, which side? Or do you really think that Saul ought to get rid of David? Or, you know, there was all of this stuff that was going on for years, 30 plus years. But now David is going to be made king. And there was joy. There was anticipation. What were they anticipating? I like candy too. I don't jump up and down, but I like the taste of that. They were anticipating unity. They were anticipating a leader that would continue to take them forward. And there was joy about that. there was something that they were willing to put a tremendous amount of effort. This is more than just this little brief rip the wrapper off and put that sweet tasting sugary little donut looking thing in my mouth, a lifesaver, whatever it is. It's more than that. This is something we've been anticipating. Maybe there was somebody there old enough to say, you know, I remember when Saul was anointed king. They'd be a pretty old man by this time. They'd be my age, at least. But all of the younger ones, they'd lived all their life in this turmoil and the bickering. And I don't really want to be in the army chasing David. And how many people was it that defected and had joined themselves to David? And they were all hiding in the wilderness, in the woods, and in caves, and all of those kind of things. It's hard for me to know how to express in words the turmoil that was going on. But the joy that they felt of knowing that we're going to have finally be able to make David king, and this is what we've been wanting for all my life. Somebody probably said that. I've been waiting on this day all of my life. And they literally had been. So, what are we anticipating? What are we looking forward to? You know, I like those little, I like a piece of pie. I like words of affirmation. I'm not addicted to it, I don't think. I go days sometimes without having dessert, but if it's available, I'll take dessert. You know, but those are brief things, aren't they? They really are. But there's something much deeper. I want us to get a perspective of joy being more than just this little bubbly thing and it's over. There is something that I'm living my life for. These men had lived, many of these were there that they'd lived all their life looking forward to the day that David could be king. We know God anointed him. It happened before I was born, but we know that God's anointing is on this man, or he wouldn't have kept him safe all these years. And the joy of being able to be part of the celebration and official things happened there during that time, just to realize I'm living the day that David is made king. Be a wonderful time, wasn't it? For them. And what's our anticipation? Want to make it to heaven? I do. I want to make it. I want to know, you know, to think about entering in to eternity with God. It makes my heart melt to think of the joy that it's going to be to know we made it. We're safe from the accusations of the enemy, from the temptations. We're safe. That's why we put the bread on our ox and we haul it along. I'm looking for that day. I'm working towards, there's something in me that is wanting to be present the day. God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be on that side. I don't want to be on the other side. There's a joy that I'm working towards. It's more than, somebody saying, I sure appreciate what you do, or I thank you so much for being there. Oh, those are nice words. And I want y'all to know I appreciate each one of you. All your contributions and the lives that you're living. I really appreciate that. But our joy it's something more than that. It's what sustains me when things aren't going good. It's what causes me to load up my pack animal and work towards that goal of the joy of entering into the presence of the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Notice something the Apostle Paul says. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And begin reading in verse 1. I'm sorry, I told you wrong. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And I want to start at the first verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Macedonia is Greece, all right? He says, "How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." There's a lot in that verse right there. He says, "How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Let's read some more and we'll come back to that. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." That's a pretty powerful verse too. To be willing in a period of time that they were beyond their own abilities. They were beyond their own power. You know, there's things bigger than us. And sometimes things that's bigger than us seems to be taking advantage of us. And sometimes when things bigger than us is taking advantage of us, it's hard for us to have any joy. You ever had any troubles bigger than you? I'm one of those. I've had troubles bigger than me. And I don't know what I'm going to do with them. And I don't know how to fix them. And I don't know where to start. You know, right during those times, an enemy wants us to forget about the joy we can have in knowing that God loves us. We have an eternal abode and reward waiting for us. He wants us to forget all about that. And that's not the time. The time then is to, he says, "I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They were willing to do what? Willing to maintain this sense of there's joy waiting on me. There's joy waiting on me. And I don't know how it's all going to work out. And it don't look very good right now. But I know that if I'm faithful, there's joy waiting on me. He says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of the Lord." So how did this happen? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. It's an individual matter before it can become a collective matter. I have to individually give myself to the Lord and unto us, and then it says, well, I'll just read that verse again. It says, "And this they did." They took on the ministering, that they're referring to what was said in the other verse. They took on the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Did you know that when we first give ourselves to the Lord, then we can see the burden for the bigger picture? How do I help the cause? And when I get into helping the cause, I realize it's kind of like those men that loaded up all their pack animals, and I wonder how many of those that travel the long distances say, "I don't know. you know, going down there to make this guy king, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I don't even know this person. I don't even think that nothing like that happened. I think every one of them, they probably had to be telling some of them, y'all need to stay home. There might be a wild animal that comes in here. Y'all need to take care of stuff at the house. We got to draw straws to see who gets to go. They were excited about this. They were wanting to be there. Why? Because they had been anticipating the time when they could make David king without any reservation. And these men gave themselves to the Lord first. And once they done that, they was able to enter into ministering to the saints. You know, basically he's talking about helping the folks down there in Jerusalem that were destitute. That's what he's talking about. He says, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had, this is verse 6, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. The Lord wants to not only start something, he wants to finish it. He wants to see you through. He don't want you to lose track of what the real joy is all about. I like the joy of seeing people come in and like one another and get along, and I like that. And I don't think we ought to try to do anything less than that, than get along. But I want us to see there's a joy that's bigger. What am I working towards? Just for a piece of candy? Just for the first taste of a really good steak is really good. But you ever had a piece of steak big enough that you didn't know if you was going to be able to take the last bite? It don't quite taste like it did the first time, the first bite. Well, I'm looking forward to making it to the judgment and hear the Lord say, well done. I'm looking forward to that. That's the joy that's set before me. And I don't want to lose track of that. I don't want to allow any kind of little bumps and ripples in the road to keep me distracted or get me distracted. I want him to finish it. Let's go back to that second verse. He says, verse 1, he said that, he says, brethren, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to witness. We want you to recognize. That's what the word wit means. We want you to wit, or we want you to understand the grace of God, how it's bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. These are Gentile churches and congregations. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The abundance of their joy. That means that it was more than just popping one piece of candy out of a plastic wrapper. It was something that lasted for a period of time. He says the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The poverty, they didn't have maybe so much to give of themselves. I don't know what their financial status was. But they were willing to give of themselves. They were willing to give of their means. And that's what it's talking about when it says, unto the riches of their liberalities. Of their giving of themselves. How did it happen? They had to first give themselves to the Lord. For us to have true joy, we're going to have to first give ourselves to the Lord. Consecration? Sanctification? We're going to have to be willing to give ourselves to the Lord. But their joy came in the abundance of their giving of themselves. They were happy to give of themselves. Isn't there a verse that says it's more blessed to do what? To give. Why is that? There's an element of joy. I didn't always understand that when I was younger, but as I get older, I think I understand that better. There's a level of joy in being able to give of myself, my time, my energy, the talents the Lord has blessed us with. There's a level of joy in that. The things that are described in these verses are a little different than the joy that children feel when they see or anticipate one of their favorite activities or blessing. I'd like for us to look at the words of some songs we have. Song number 91. The title of it is Joy in the Service of the Master. Says, there is joy in the service of the Master. Let me sing of the glory I have found. Since I gave all to Jesus and His favor gained, O wondrous streams of joy forever abound. I was listening to a song that this week. It's talking about, I can't remember the title of it, some of y'all might recognize it. It's talking about if you take everything away, you know, and just they still have Jesus, that's all they really need. Oh, I'm going to tell you, most times when things get start taken away, everybody feels like pretty destitute. You start having a Job experience, and we'll probably be wishing that some of that stuff would start coming back in. It's hard on the flesh to say, if I just have Jesus, everything will be all right. It's wonderful to sing about, but it's another thing to put it in practice. He says here in this song, there's joy in the service of the Master because he give himself to the Lord and he finds joy in being able, in his liberalities, in his giving of himself. He says, could you bring me the treasures of the ocean? Could you offer the golden stores of earth? I would sing hallelujah. I have a greater wealth. I have my Savior's love, a heavenly birth. Is there enough joy there for me to say that? How many of us would turn from the treasures of the ocean or the golden stores of earth and say, I have a greater wealth. I have my Savior's love, a heavenly birth. We sing this song and it feels good. It sounds good to sing it. It's another thing to live it. Third verse says, could I soar to the highest throne of honor? Could I shine with the wisdom of a sage? All this poor, fading glory, could no thought engage? Could no thought engage? Would be a challenge. None of that, he says, would cause me to begin to dwell on it or thought engage, since Jesus is my all, my own heritage. That's a tall order to fill. Could I sing out the pleasure in my bosom, how my heart thrills with glory in the way? All the world would no longer in the desert stay, but to my Jesus come, and even today. Jesus, my life and my joy evermore. Jesus forever, my heart's deep store. I hope today that we I want us to have those feelings of exuberance and those feelings that we have when we reconnect with people that have been away from us. All of those things that bring us happy, joyful thoughts, I want us to have those. I don't want you to go home and paint everything gray and just eat turnip greens and drink water the rest of your life. That's not what I want you to do. I want us to have joy in life. But I want us to have a realization that there is a deep-seated joy of knowing the Lord has got a reward for us, and He's got a we've got an experience with Him. We've got an element of joy here that is worth sacrificing for. It's worth giving myself for. It's worth me bearing some burdens for, hauling some food, if you will, giving of myself. It's worth it. There's a real joy waiting on us. There's another song I want us to touch on, number 70, that says there is joy in the Lord. It says, there's one of these verses here, I didn't write it down which one it was. Yes, first verse. I will sing hallelujah, for there's joy in the Lord. I like it when our emotions are elevated and everybody is rejoicing and thankful for those easily discernible blessings. You know what I mean? Easily discernible blessings. When things turn out better than you anticipated. When everything went smoothly with no hiccups. He says, I will sing hallelujah, for there's joy in the Lord. And He fills my heart with rapture as I, hold on, this is a little different tone, as I rest on His word. I will trust in His promise. I will shout, I am free. In my blessed loving Savior, I have sweet victory. What if things don't turn out better than we expected? What if life's a struggle? Can we count it all joy? He says, He fills my heart with rapture. That sounds like a pretty happy thought, doesn't it? He fills my heart with rapture as I rest on His word. I will trust in His promise. To rest on His word and trust in His promise sound like things is going less than anticipated. You get my drift? You know, we can think, oh, if everything would just kind of go my way, you're trying to get something done, I'll be done by 5 o'clock. And 6 o'clock, you feel like everything's still going backwards. You know, it can happen that way. But when life is that way, can we rest on His word? Can we trust in His promise? Can we shout, I am free? Do you know, when the Lord has delivered us from a life of sin, and we smash our thumb in the door, it's still a good day. It really is. I mean, I cut my finger here the other day, but you know, it's still a lot better than life could be. You know, I could be a miserable person to get along with. One of the keys of having joy in the Lord is resting on His word. Lord, You promised not to let anything come upon me more than I could bear. And I'm trusting in that. I'm resting in that. There's a reward in the end that's going to pay. And it's going to pay out big time. It's more than any lottery ticket that you can go buy. And the odds are in your favor. You buy into this. You give of yourself to the Lord. Remember what we read there in 2 Corinthians. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. I want y'all to take that phrase home with you today. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. That is going to be a secret to having sustainable joy. They first gave themselves to the Lord. You know what the odds are that you're going to win at life when you first give yourself to the Lord? It's guaranteed. You're going to make it. You give yourself to the Lord. You allow Him to use you in His kingdom. And the joy that's waiting is a guarantee. It's not one in the population of the United States. I was always fascinated years ago when Reader's Digest used to come to my parents' house. And, they had this Reader's Digest sweepstakes. And I don't remember how much it was, but it was a lot of money. And if you could read the fine print was the odds of winning was one. And it was always one in, and it was the population of the United States. That's not very good odds. I don't even know if I ever heard about a winner. Maybe there was. One in the population, one in the world. How many billion people's in the world? That'd be terrible odds, wouldn't it? It's different than that. When we first give ourselves to the Lord, the joy of being able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, enter thou in." To the what? To the joy of the Lord. Isn't that what He says? You know what the odds are? It's 100%. You're going to make it. If we first give ourselves to the Lord, if we say, "Lord, I got to have you. I'm willing to be the pack animal. I'm willing to carry the cheese or the bread. I'm willing to herd the sheep. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I give myself to you." You're going to win. You're going to make it. You're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. You pray for me.